Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
I want you to take a look at a portion of Scripture today that is very, very, very important. So would you take your Bibles and would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 9. And I want you to see something that is coming. It's coming. And this week, I have been deeply, 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 deeply moved because when I was young, which wasn't too long ago, I had the privilege of sitting with someone who had found their purpose. And not only had they found their purpose, but because they found their purpose in life, they knew what to say no to. And when they tried to make him a Bible college president, he was able to say no. And when they tried to get him to think about pastoring a church, he was able to say no. And he lived that purpose. And this week, living that purpose allowed him, as they carried his body from his mountain home where I have visited and I've been in his office, and they took Dr. Graham and they carried him to the library. Now, it's not very many people that get a whole library named after him. Presidents. And later this week, he will lay in the Capitol Rotunda of the United States of America. And there has never been a minister of the gospel who has ever laid in the Capitol Rotunda. And for 2 days, people will file by the thousands, because he found his purpose and he lived his purpose. And when I had the privilege of meeting him, he was very clear about finding your purpose and about understanding that there's a reason that it's important you find your purpose or you'll chase after shadow mission.
Yeah.
And so Dr. Graham and all of his team, I'll never forget as long as I live, sitting with his team, the team that traveled with him and lived with him, and then having the privilege of meeting those individuals who poured into his life and who coached him. Stephen Olford, who met him when Dr. Graham came to England to hear Stephen preach to Campus Crusade for Christ, and there was Stephen speaking, and after Stephen Olford finished speaking, he sat down and young people were responding to God, and Dr. Graham came up and he said, "Hi, my name is Billy." And Stephen said, "I looked up and I saw those blue eyes and I could tell he had a southern accent. And I said, 'Good to meet you.' He said, 'What can I do for you?' He said, 'I want what you have.'" And Stephen Olford said to Dr. Graham, he said, "Do you know your purpose?" And Dr. Graham said, "I do." And he said, "Then meet me at such and such a motel tomorrow." He said, "We'll stay there until you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit." And for 2 days, they didn't eat, they drank, they stayed in that room until Dr. Graham received the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget when Dr. Olford looked at me and he said, Billy began to weep. He began to laugh. And I looked at Dr. Olford and I said, "Dr. Olford, I know my purpose. Would you pray for me? And Stephen Overd looked at me and he said these words. He said, Dr. Graham has flown me over 1,000 times to places in the world where he was speaking to pray for him because he wanted a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. But he said, I'm getting too old to do that for you. I'm going to pray for you today, and then you've got to learn how to pray for yourself.
That's good.
I'll never forget that day. Do you know your purpose? Do you know your purpose? And every young person in this room needs to really pay attention, and I would encourage you to get a piece of paper out and begin to write some things down today, and I would encourage you to get your phone out and turn it to the camera mode because I want you to take pictures of what you're going to see here on the screen. How old are you, son?
15.
At 15, you can know your purpose and live it until you're 99, like Dr. Graham, when you give up your life. You can find it out at 15. And he found it out on a dairy farm in North Carolina as a teenager. Do you know your purpose, Mom? Because it's beyond raising your daughter, and it's beyond being married. Do you know your purpose? Here's what the Bible says. For we are God's, you can read, it's open book. Okay. We are God's what? Interesting. You're already beginning to find your purpose.
Yeah.
So no matter what the specifics are for your life, all of us are called to be a co-worker of God. Now, that's very interesting. That means that God, in his infinite plan, has left gaps for you. In other words, you were born with talents and gifts. You were born with a certain heart passion in order to fulfill the gaps that God put in his plan that have your name on it. Do you know your purpose? Or you'll miss those gaps. Imagine missing the gaps that God left for you. Look at this. You are God's field, God's building, and by the grace God has given me. Say grace.
Grace.
How many are glad for grace?
Amen.
I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with... Now, this is very, very important, because if you want to go to the graveyard today, I would encourage you to walk around and see a lot of people who took themselves to the grave and never knew their purpose.
It's true.
They never found it out. They didn't know why they exist. They didn't know why they were born. They kept asking that question. They worked over at the Ford plant. They worked over at duct tape. They worked over at all these different steel mills. But you know what? They never knew their purpose. Do you? Because here's what it says. Here's what it says. But each one should build with care. In other words, build your life with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, here's the first step that you've got to understand, and that is you build your life on Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to this, because this is very important. Once you discover your purpose, then you can discover the vision for your life, and that's what you're building. That's what you're building. But if you don't know your purpose, you don't know what to build.
That's good. That's really good.
Imagine building this building without plans. That's the way some of you are building your life. And sometimes I meet people who are old, and you're afraid to get too close to them because you're afraid they're going to bite your leg off.
Uh-huh.
Come on, how many have been with some of those people?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know why they're that angry? Why they're that upset and why they're that frustrated? Because they never found their purpose. Because if you know your purpose, nothing can keep you from the joy of the Lord. And the first step is to build your life on the foundation, Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have the right foundation, recently there was an earthquake in Mexico, and it was interesting because the earthquake was not near Mexico City, yet the schools in Mexico City and buildings in Mexico City collapsed. You know why? Because Mexico City was built on a lake bed. It's sand. And hundreds of miles away was the earthquake, but the sand shifted. Some of you, the life that you've built, the sand is shifting. Because you didn't lay it upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, the solid foundation. He says, now build your life on that solid foundation. Read it. If anyone builds on this foundation using what? Gold, silver, or precious stone. In other words, you have a choice of what you're going to build your life with. Gold, silver, or precious stone. Or you can build your life with wood, hay, or straw. Now there's a big difference.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's interesting. We'll start the little marriage seminar here, okay? You with this guy?
Yes.
I'll pray.
Thank you.
So let me see your hand, if you would. Did he give this to you?
He did.
Well, he's taking it back.
Oh.
It's made of gold, correct?
Yes.
And that's a diamond, correct?
Yes.
He's taking it back. He wants a boat. And he's going to cash it in for a boat, and he's going to give you a piece of straw, and he's going to tie it beautifully right there around your finger. You're in trouble. How come you gave her gold?
I love her. It's the symbol of love.
Because it's the symbol of love. How come you put a diamond in it? Why didn't you put straw around her finger?
First, I would have gotten shot.
Listen to me. We give the people we love a gold and some type of stone because it shows the value of that person. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is very, very important. Because when you build your life, you want to build with the most valuable resource.
That's true.
But some of you are building your life with wood, hay, and straw. And here's what's going to happen. Look at this. This is very, very interesting. Your work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light, it will be revealed with fire. Now, when Dr. Graham died, my sister who lives there in North Carolina, where Dr. Graham grew up and lived all of his life, or most of his life, my sister sent me a text, and here's what she said. Today, my dad met Dr. Graham. Now, I had the privilege of meeting Dr. Graham when I was very young. I had the privilege of speaking in the high school assemblies prior to Billy Graham Crusades and inviting teenagers to come to those meetings. And I thought about that, about Dr. Graham and my dad meeting. And then it hit me. And Dr. Graham's work is going to be judged with fire. Mm-hmm. Just like yours.
Right.
Your work. Say that with me.
Your work.
See, your work is not the job you get paid for.
That's true.
See, that's the tragedy. Some of you think you're who your job is. Mm-hmm. No, you're who your purpose is. And there's a big difference between some of the jobs that you guys work and some of you women work than your purpose.
Right.
And you're not fulfilling your purpose even at your job because you don't know your purpose. But our work is going to be judged. Now, if it's wood, hay, and stubble or straw, what's going to be left of it?
Nothing.
But can I tell you something? In California, where the fires were recently, if you would have lived in California and you would have taken your ring off, do you take your ring off at night?
Yes.
Do you put it in a certain place in the bedroom? Yeah. Those people do the same thing. Most people do. They take jewelry off and they put it in a certain place. And when a fire comes and destroys your house, what they do, what many churches did, is they sent people over there and they built these grates. They put four pieces of wood and then they put a screen on the bottom and they went to where the bedrooms were of the house and they shoveled in the ashes and they shook. And guess what they find? The gold and the diamonds and the rubies and the silver. Because gold and precious stones and silver are not changed by the fire. And they're still just as valuable.
Right.
They don't lose their value when the fire comes.
Right.
But what's left of straw? Nothing. Is that what you want on that day? Now, this is interesting because it goes on to say, it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And if what has been built survives, the builder will receive the reward. So guess what? We receive the reward. Right. Say that. We what?
We receive the reward.
We receive the reward. Now, watch this. But there will be those who will suffer loss, even though they'll be saved. You'll make heaven, but you'll have nothing of a reward.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting statement. Because, notice, if you build your life on the foundation Jesus, heaven is your home, but there is a judgment of works. There's a judgment of works. This, what do we do with our lives? Do we fulfill our purpose? Now, I want you to grasp this because I'm going to give this to you very quickly today, and I want you to grasp this, and I work with a lot of people and give time to this. So I want you to see this because, number one, God's grace shaped us for service and reward. So we are to serve co-workers, living our purpose, but we get rewarded in the end. How does this work? How do I know that? Because here's what it says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what?
Good works.
Good works. There are good works that have been designed for you to do, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's in His plan. He put us in His plan.
Yeah.
And He says, I've got these good works for you to do. Now, this is very important because notice Job is the guy that lost everything, and yet he's able to say in chapter 10 and verse 8 these words, your hands shaped me and made me. And the reason Job was able to suffer loss in this life and still go on with God is because he knew his purpose and he knew nothing could stop him from his purpose no matter how bad life got. And that is the difference. A lot of people get shot down in life because bad things happen. And the reason they get shot down in life because bad things happen is because they don't understand their purpose. You see, when you know your purpose, nothing bad can stop you from going forward. And there's a big difference. You can lose a child and still go forward if you know your purpose.
Right.
Your mate can die, but you can still go forward if you know you have a purpose. There's a big difference. Now watch this. Because He shaped us to do good works, and I want you to understand this because this is very important. Because inside of every one of you here today, you hear this question, this whisper, why am I here? Why am I alive? Why do I exist? And I got news for you. Your dog doesn't ask that question.
No, it doesn't.
No, and you can buy a monkey and they don't ask it either. And you can buy a parakeet, and they don't ask it either. You and I are the only ones who ask that question. And the tragedy is, most go to their grave never answering those questions. Number two, watch this. So what is the service or the good works that we're to do? Take a picture of this, because it's the one another passages. And the one another passages tell us what we're to do with our life. So each one should use whatever gifts he received to serve others. Now this is interesting. How many of you have talents? I'll ask that again because how many of you have some talents? Now, I'm going to ask that again because every one of you do. You have all been given gifts to make an impact in the world to complete the works that God designed you for. Every talent and your heart passion is the key. It's the crosshairs. It's the crosshairs in the scope of the rifle that allow you to hit the target. Look at your talents and look at your heart passions, and you'll begin to see the crosshairs of the target of where you're to do the good works. So look at this, because all of us were designed to do things from God, not for God. I'm going to say that again because you missed it. Write it down. You were designed to do things from God, not for God. See, some of you think you have to do things for God so God will love you. No, God loves you. That's why he gave you the gifts he gave you, so that you could do things from him.
Yes.
And show his love to those around you. That's what Dr. Graham did. So what are the one another's? Here they are. Look at them. You can see them. We're to honor one another. We live in a world where that's not very... Why is Dr. Graham being laid in the rotunda of the United States Capitol? Because president after president after president called on Dr. Graham and said, I need you to talk to. I need you to help me. Why? Because it didn't matter if they were Republican or Democrat. They were honored by Dr. Graham. Not only that, he came to serve them. And that's what we're to do. We're to serve one another. And so they knew when they called Dr. Graham that he was there to serve them. They didn't have to serve him. And watch this. He was always hospitable. And he welcomed to his home. There, I've been to his home. And he would welcome to his home the Barack Obamas, just like he would welcome to his home the Ronald Reagans. And I want you to understand that, because he would welcome there also the very poor. And it's always interesting to me, when a man is buried, the casket he lays in was built by the prisoners that he welcomed because of the hospitality of God. Yeah. Think about it. Mm-hmm. He encouraged everyone he met. He accepted, because that's the works we're to do. He accepted everybody. It didn't matter who you were. Dr. Graham said, come to the cross. Come to Calvary. Come to Jesus. Not only that, read on. Look at this. Continue on. Look at this with me. We're to bear one another's burden. We're to admonish one another. Now, I'm glad when Pastor says to me, you got dirt on your face. I don't want to get up here with dirt on my face and speak. And sometimes we got to admonish people. Sometimes we got to do that, but we do it in love. You got to teach one another, and you got to love one another. You got to what? Love one another. And we're in a world where we need a generation that'll love one another.
Amen.
Watch this, because Jesus and Paul gives us clarity of how we can get the reward. Here it is. Jesus says this in Matthew 20, verse 28. Your attitude must be what? Like my own. It starts with your attitude. And I would encourage you every night before you go to bed to write down three things that you're grateful for, because your attitude will be changed by your gratitude.
That's right.
Good. Start becoming thankful. Start becoming thankful. People say, but the world is getting so bad. Look at the deaths at schools in Florida. Listen to me. You go with me around the world and you'll be thankful you live in the United States.
That's true.
You be thankful. Gratitude changes your attitude. Be thankful that she still says she loves you. Be thankful that she looks as good as she does. Be thankful that she still says, I want you to stick with me. Let me tell you something. There's a lot to be grateful for.
Yes.
And it'll change your attitude. Yeah. It'll change your attitude. Watch this. Not only that, but this is very important, because Paul gives us some insight here. He said, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, because it was his plan. It's his plan that we serve him. He chose us. Now watch this, because how do we build with gold, silver, and costly stone? It's easy to understand this whole thing of serving and doing good works, but how do we build with gold, gold, silver, and bronze. This is it right here. Get your phone out. Take a picture of this. Because silver is the refining holiness. That means that if we live for God in a culture that is not living for God, people say, boy, this culture's gone to the dogs. It's gotten bad. Listen to me. The sinful culture of the world has always been bad.
That's true.
Don't get your eyes on how bad it's gotten. Get your eyes on how you're going to live and the light shines brighter in the darkness.
That's good.
If you live right, everyone's going to see it. You keep your marriage strong and everyone's going to see it. And the neighbors are going to say, we want that. And men will say to you, can I talk to you? I want what you've got. You see, it's when we live in precious stones is proving godly character. When people say to you, wow, you seem to love everybody. Wow, you're so happy. That's godly character. Not only that, but watch this. It goes on. It says this. It says that we are the precious stones, the diamonds, this tenacious endurance. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to make it to the end. When I'm 99, I'm going to be there. That's what Dr. Graham taught and lived. And a pearl, this perpetual grace, giving people grace, receiving grace, giving grace. Grace to yourself. Some of you haven't forgiven yourself. Give yourself grace.
Yes.
Because he wants to. Give other people grace. Forgive them. Forgive them. But you don't know what they did. I don't. And I'm sorry. But give them grace.
Yeah.
And you will be rewarded in the end. You will be rewarded in the end. Watch this, because this is so powerful. And the white stone. Now this is absolutely over the top. So when you build your life on the foundation, Jesus Christ, and you come to Jesus for salvation, watch this. Revelation chapter 2, verse 15 says that Jesus reaches down and he grabs a white stone. This is a valuable stone that was used in the courts of the Bible days. And if a man was declared innocent, they would drop the white stone into the bucket. And if there were more white stones than black stones, then the person was innocent. And I want you to know, Jesus reaches down when you come to him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said. I don't care how you curse God. I don't care who you did it with. I don't care how bad you've been. If you come to Jesus, he reaches down and he grabs the white stone. You're innocent. You're free of your sin because of Jesus. And here's what he says. He writes a new name on that stone.
Yeah.
Now, this is important. This is important. What's your name?
Rich.
That's what your mama called you. But that's not what God calls you.
Amen.
He wired you. He designed you. He put talents in you. He built you and he put a heart in you with passion. And when you come to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, he reaches down and he grabs a white stone and he writes a new name. You ever sang that old song? There's a
new name.
Oh, isn't that interesting? He writes a new name. Do you know what the new name is? What you were designed for. And on that day, Rich, and on that day, Jesus is going to pick you up and he's going to grab that white stone and he's going to call you by the name that he's been calling you since the day you gave your life to Jesus. And he's going to look at you and he's going to look at your works. Have you fulfilled the purpose that he designed you for? Have you used those talents? Have you used that heart? Have you let that heart move you to do what God called you to do? And then he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not just Dr. Graham that's going to hear that. It's you.
Thanks.
It's you. It's you. But it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Now listen. Picture this. When you get to heaven, the gates are going to be what?
Pearly gates.
Solid pearl. Solid pearl. Oh, your wife. Oh, if you could put those on the house. Happy days. Then the gates open, solid pearl. What are you going to see?
I'm going to see our Lord.
You're going to see a city of gold. A city of what?
Gold.
Gold. Now, wait a minute. What did I tell you? All through history, the wealthiest men in the world wore their gold. the kings, the queens, the wealthy, they wear it. They dress in it. The actors and the actresses, they wear it or they drive it. I looked the other day at a Bugatti, $3.2 million to drive a car, a Bugatti. Do you know why you drive a Bugatti? It was used. Do you know how many miles were on it? 4,000. 4,000. And he traded it in for another one. 4,000 miles. You know why? Because they don't really drive them. They just want people to see them in it. Because wealth and power is always shown by the gaudiness of the gold and the silver and the precious stone. Then why did God make heaven gold? Why did he put pearly gates on there? Why does it say not only will it be a city of gold, but blue sapphire, green emerald, and a lake of topaz? Topaz. A whole lake. Why? Because when you get to that place, it's a place that's been built for who? For who?
Me.
For you.
Yeah.
For you and me. Are you listening to this? See, the wealthiest man in the United States right now is a guy that owns Amazon. He's worth $90 billion, okay? Yeah. Billion, okay? When you get to a city built of gold, that's dust. You're going to see the wealthiest man in the world. You're going to see the man of power and all power. You're going to see the man that owns it all, because that's the place he's built for you. And you're going to know what you're worth because God built it. But all the things that the world says makes you powerful and wealthy, he said, no, no, you're going to live in it. Oh, somebody ought to get excited in that. Maybe you didn't hear that. You're going to live in it. And on the chest of Jesus, the book of Exodus, chapter 28 and 29, says that the priest would wear an ephod with these gorgeous stones, the names of the tribes of Israel, because he would take the blood and he would pour it on the sins of their for forgiveness. But Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross and he bore his own sin, for his own blood over our sin. He poured it over our sin, and he wears on his chest the most valuable, precious gems you've ever seen, and it's going to have your name written on his chest, and you're going to see it, and he's going to say, well done. And then he's going to step down. He's going to step down and he's going to reach for a crown. And in that crown are going to be the jewels of all the people that came to faith because you lived your purpose. And he's going to put it on your head. And if you cared, if there comes a day you have to care for your wife or you have to care for mom and dad and they can't care for themselves and you got to push them in a wheelchair and you've got to hold them and lift them, there's the crown of Stephanus that goes to the martyr and to those who care for those who can't care for themselves. And he's going to take that gold crown of Stephanus and he's going to put that on your head. And he's going to say, the reward is yours. The reward is yours. Just like they received the gold at the Olympics, only you're going to receive more than gold. You're going to live in a city of gold. And the gems will be yours. A reward because you lived your purpose. Now listen, because this is very important. This is very important. Because if your life is not built on the solid foundation, Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter because you can't get the reward. You can't even get entrance into the city. Your life has to be built on the solid foundation, Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Have you ever had to go to the emergency room?
Yep.
That's an experience, isn't it?
Definitely.
So the very first thing, if you're really in need, is they bring you into a room, right? And if they have to roll you in, did they have to roll you in? No? He wasn't that bad, was he?
I gimped in.
Did you see that look on her face? It was kind of like, he didn't need to go, but I took him. That's why we got wives. They had to roll me in. Okay, I was in a car accident. And you know what the first thing they started asking me? It's the same thing they ask you before surgery, over and over and over. You ever have surgery?
Yeah.
What's your name, sir? What's your name? When were you born? Can you give me your name? You know what they're asking you? They want to know your vitals. See, if you don't know your name and you don't know when you were born, you're in trouble. And you're going to be in trouble when you get there if you don't know when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. If you don't know when you were born again, listen, do you know what they do next? They look at your color, and then they listen to your heart. And if your color is red and your heart is fast-paced, they call in a crash team because you're in big, big trouble. Okay? Is your heart in tune with Jesus? Is your heart in tune with Jesus? You better know your vital signs. You know what they do next? They took a plastic thing and they snip it to your finger right here. Yep. What's that do? Do you know? Checks the oxygen levels in your blood. Checks the oxygen levels. And on that day, there's going to be a check of your vital signs. Is the word of God flowing through your veins, flowing through your life? Gals, hurry back. Listen to me. This is no time to be heading for the restroom. Look right here, every one of you. Because if your vitals are not well on that day, you will not enter that city. Do you know when you were born again?
Dr. Graham's Crusade in 1994.
Dr. Graham's Crusade. In 1994. Just think, he's receiving a reward because of you. And because he lived his purpose, you laid your life on the foundation, Jesus Christ. And now today, you stand here, and people in this room are going to come to lay their life on the foundation, Jesus Christ. His purpose goes on. Would you bow your heads with me today? Nobody moving. Every eye closed. Do you know that you've laid your life, you're building your life with care on the foundation, Jesus? Do you know if your vital signs were checked that you'd be able to enter that city? Do you know that he's given you a new name? Are his words flowing through your veins? Or are you here today and you say, Sam, I'm not sure. I've got doubts. I've got questions. I'm not where I need to be with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I'm building my life on the foundation, Jesus. If you're here today and you're not sure, you're not sure, you're not sure, then today is your day. How many of you would say, Sam, I'm positive. I know everything's good. I'm right with Jesus. I'm on the solid foundation. He is my rock. I'm building my life on him. I know that he's my savior. I know that he's given me a new name. If you're positive of it, throw your hand straight up. If you're positive, positive, you may take it down. Some of you were honest enough not to lift a hand. Some of you lifted two hands. But some of you are honest enough not to lift it. If you're not sure that all is well between you and Jesus, if you're not sure you're ready to enter that city, if you're not sure, then today Jesus is here and he's reaching to you. And I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to throw your hands straight up in the air. And when you throw your hands straight up in the air, you're going to grab his hand. He's going to grab your hand. You're going to walk out of here knowing your life is on the solid foundation, Jesus Christ. If you couldn't lift it a moment ago, but you want to know that all is well between you and Jesus today, when I get to three, throw it up. One, two, three. Lift it right. Wow, 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 wow. You may take it down. You may take it down. Would everyone in this room, everybody, just stand with me today. Just stand with me. And I'm going to ask us to pray. I'll never forget, and you reminded me of it when you said, come here, Rich, come here. Do you remember when you responded?
Yeah.
You prayed?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dr. Graham said, just pray with me. Would you help us pray today? Okay? Just bow your heads with me. And all of us, let's pray with these who lifted their hand today. And we're going to pray to Jesus and surrender our life to him. Are you ready? I'll help you. Pray with me. Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
That you're not angry at me.
That you're not angry at me.
And you haven't given up on me. Today you're reaching to me.
Today you're reaching to me.
I'm starting brand new.
Starting brand new.
From now on, you're going to be my foundation. I'm building everything on you.
I'm building everything on you.
Today, Jesus.
Today, Jesus.
I receive your grace.
I receive your grace.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your
mercy.
I receive your mercy.
That you bought for me at the cross.
I will follow the cross.
I believe the cross.
And Jesus,
I choose to live for you.
I
want to do my purpose
that you designed me for.
From this day forward.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now just thank him. Just thank him. Just thank him. Because he heard our prayer today. Just thank him. Thank him. Pastor, come here. Rich, would you step right down there? I've asked Pastor to come because here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the person to the right and to the left, or behind you and in front of you. Now, Pastor will come back in a moment and he will dismiss, okay? So nobody's dismissed yet for a moment. Because I don't want anyone distracted. I want everyone to be able to respond, just like Rich responded on that day in the 90s to Jesus Christ. Now you're going to respond. On this day in 2018, you're going to come to Jesus. And I want you to come, and I want you to stand with Rich and with Pastor. And by doing that, what you're saying to Jesus is, from this day forward, I'm on the solid rock. I'm on the solid foundation. I give my life to you, Jesus. Now, I want you to help people do that. So I want you to turn to the person to your right and your left, and I want you to ask them, did you surrender new to Jesus today? And if they say yes, say, come on, I'll go with you. Let's respond. And if they say, I needed to, then say, come on, it's not too late. I'll go with you. And just bring someone with you. Everybody, turn to someone near you. Ask them if they want to come today. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just come. Come with them. Come with them today. That's it. That's it. This is, oh, this is good. 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 That's it. Just come. Just come. Isn't this great? Come on. Give God praise today. Give God praise today. Give God praise today. Give God praise today. This is good. This is good. How old are you? 16 years old. 16. How many of you wish you would have come at 16?
Yeah.
Some of us are a little over that. Some of us around that. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this wonderful? Pastor, share with these people. The rest of you, you may be seated. Pastor, just share with them.
All right, guys. Don't run yet. Don't run yet. Listen, I've known some of you for ages. Some of you I don't know so well. Here's the deal. We want, when he was talking about purpose, we want to help you find your purpose. That's why God called me here. To help you find why you're here. Okay? So we're going to work together and we're going to do this. There are some things you need to do. And the next thing you would need to do is We have this thing called small groups. Small groups. Get in a small group. I don't care if it makes you really uncomfortable. You're going to go to somebody's house or someplace you've never been before, and you're going to meet people you've never met before, and they're all going to love you, and they're going to be twice as weird as you, so you'll be the most sane one in the room. But if you're not in a small group, you need to get in one now, right? Pastor Ashley, where are you at? She just went out to sign you up for small groups. So if you're not in a small group, you need to get in a small group, because here's the deal. That's how you're going to find God's purpose. And this place is sort of like the flu. If you hang around long enough, you'll catch it. But if you don't hang around, you won't catch it. So here's what I want for you, okay? I want you to do more with your life than simply exist. I want you to do more with your life than simply exist. I want you to do what God made you for. And the first step for you, the next step, is get in a small group. Get in a small group. You'll have to grow up getting in relationship with real people, right? All right, so Father, I pray that the next step we take would be a step towards you, a step of saying, I will commit to be a part of a small group, a life group. I'm going to get in a life group, all right? I'm going to do it. I'm actually going to commit to be in relationship with some people who are maybe not quite as weird as me, but they're really, really great. And I pray that you would help us to take that next step of discovering God's purpose by loving the people that you put us here with. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would cause this body to be a body where every person who's a part of this body would find their purpose as they serve, as they give, as they love, as they devote themselves to following Jesus. And I pray a special anointing over this church. I've been praying it, and I pray it again, that we would be a people that would find why you put us here, and we would walk the fullness of what you have for us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, before you leave today, you ought to turn and give somebody a high five and maybe a hug. All right? You can hug or high five somebody at Harvest Ridge. God bless you. Have a great day today.